Okay, so the Shiloh of the week this week was an interesting Shiloh. I was introduced to the topic about a year ago. I think that's when it came out. I was actually introduced to this topic in a different halachic context by Rabbi Senter from the Chaf Kei. We were discussing a new issue which with regards to something that really comes up a lot. I actually just dealt with this with someone who got a delivery to their house just a few hours ago. Something that I think we've spoken about, which is chosamos and having seals and making sure that restaurants are on top of that and making sure that they seal things appropriately with deliveries.
The ice cream
was it? Well, that was a Shiloh. Remind me again. What was the Shiloh?
That was Rita's.
This was a few years ago. Yeah. So the reason why Rabbi Senter introduced this new issue in that context was when Uber Eats came about. So now pretty much by definition, if a kosher restaurant in the RCBC would now be using Uber Eats, so now you're going to have a lot of random drivers that are going to be taking food from kosher restaurants to residents, and there is a concern of depending on the item, how many chosamos. I don't want to get into all the details in terms of deraisa versus derabonan, needing shtei chosamos, what the nature of the chosamos. So that was originally when I was introduced to the concept of Uber Eats, and basically making sure that we have the right protection in terms of our deliveries for the food. And again, it's just important to reiterate that whenever food is in the hands of a guy, you want to make sure that you have it sealed and tamper-proof, so that it's not going to tamper. And I want to thank a lot of people in the shul who have sent me, and I've made sure to be on top of things. That when restaurants were not on top of it, we made sure to be on top of it. But I got a call this week, and on the different end of the Uber Eats Shiloh. Somebody called me, I guess very corona-oriented, a new way to make money, is can I be a driver in Uber Eats? And it was an out-of-town question. So the question was, can I be an Uber Eats driver, not for kosher restaurants like we were discussing, but for non-kosher restaurants? Is there a halachic problem for me to be an Uber Eats driver?
Is it direct hana?
Yeah, beautiful. So let's discuss all the potential issues. So this is very easy way to make money now, and probably very popular because people are not. Did anyone ever with Corona use Uber Eats? I would imagine that it's very, very extra popular now, with people not wanting to go out as much. So the question is, what halachic issues do we get involved with being an Uber Eats driver? So to break this down, there are a few different scenarios that I think one has to cheshbin out in order to figure this out. Number one, you have the issue of just dealing with a non-kosher restaurant. So is there an issue of Maris Ayin, which is an important shaila? Not exactly clear halachically whether or not this is Maris Ayin to walk into a non-kosher restaurant. Moshe wrote in a tshuva that it's usher for a person to go into a non-kosher restaurant, and there is an issue of Maris Ayin. Whether or not that's called Maris Ayin or Chshad, Rav Moshe differentiated between the two terms. One might be that people are just going to learn the wrong halacha. That might not be as relevant over here, where it might be just chshad. People are just going to suspect you, and kind of like you're saying lashon hara on yourself, that you have to make sure that your reputation is clean, is clear, and you have to be makbid on that. So there might be differences la halacha, but is there an issue of Maris Ayin? So this comes up a lot. Many people have this shiloh when they go on business meetings. They're on, in the city, and a lot of the business meetings are in the city in these non-kosher restaurants. So this Maris Ayin issue is an evolving issue. I think this is an important point to make, just in terms of, in general, in terms of understanding the concept of Maris Ayin. You see this already in the Pri Chodesh. The Pri Chodesh says a big chiddush la'alacha, and some poskim actually accepted it, that the Pri Chodesh said, we only accept Maris Ayin, what was said in the Gemara. Anything post the Chasimus HaGemara, we don't find the poskim discussed, so that's not something that we include in Maris Ayin. That wasn't accepted as normative halacha. It might be used as a sniff lahakel, but obviously we have issues that come up now that weren't necessarily discussed in the Gemara, and we still are concerned on a certain level for Maris Ayin. But what is true is that it is generational, meaning what might be a concern or what might be the impression or perception 25 years ago, 50 years ago, is something that might change through the time. And just because something was usher then might not necessarily dictate that it's going to be that same impression these days. Because it's an impressionable halacha, and because it relates to the perception of society, so that's why you can have something that evolves like this that we might not necessarily draw the same conclusion. That's why many, many poskim think that, again, if a person needs to have a meeting, and it's already the custom of many, especially in that area, Rav Asher Weiss has a tshuva about this, you know, in the business area where it's already accepted to go to business meetings in certain areas. So then that might remove the Maris Ayin issue, because that's already accepted practice. Whether or not that includes, you know, going to a bathroom in a non-kosher restaurant, you know, off of a highway, so that's another discussion, different poskim. You know, it's really an assessment of how do people perceive it. I always remember, whenever I talk about this, I always remember my brother and I, years ago, this must have been like something like probably close to 15 years ago. So we were doing a gig in Florida. We were davening Yom Noroim in the carriage club. So Hataras Nedarim was the other Shiloh. That was with my father. I think that was before Rosh Hashanah. So I flew back and I did Yom Kippur. So we did Yom Kippur. And I was driving from where my brother lived. I think he lived in Hollywood at the time. So we were driving to Miami from Hollywood, and it was Erev Yom Kippur. And I remember I turned to my brother. I said, I have to go to the bathroom. And he said, we're gonna be there in like 30 minutes. You know, I said, because obviously Erev Yom Kippur, you know, it's like the way you feel like Kol Nidre. And, you know, so I said, we got to pull over. So there was a Burger King on the side, and I never forget. He says to me, and I'm like the person in, I don't know what I, maybe I was in smicha then. I'm the person going for to be the rep. He turns to me and he says to me, "You want me to take you to a Burger King a half hour before Yom Kippur?" Like, you know. So I, you know, certain shasad chaks, you know, you're b'makom tzar. You know, Rav Moshe actually writes that in the tshuva. B'makom tzar, even in that tshuva of going into restaurants where he says it's usher, he says b'makom tzar, maybe one can say that that we're a little bit more lax. You know, I thought that was a makom tzar. But again, even just for the bathroom or just to get a water, you know, something, some poskim already suggest that. So could a person argue now also, I'm walking into a restaurant and therefore that should remove the Maris Ayin? I don't think so. I think when it comes to Uber Eats, that's not similar to sitting on, you know, the restaurants. Avi, where are the main places that you go out for business meetings, the non-kosher places? What street? I don't know. They might.
I'm not so lucky like everybody else.
Mark, you know? Ellie, you know? Eitan, what?
I've been to a few places, unfortunately.
I work locally, so I'm
Oceanos. Oceanos?
Oceanos here on the side of the road.
My son just asked me what that place is. Okay.
I've been there.
Okay. Okay, so that's there's an Italian place on right next to the hotel also. And it looks like
I've never been there.
I always see it because we do some Eruv stuff in front of it. So I think that's what I was thinking. I think when a person is going and he's not just going to the bathroom, but he's actually picking up food and he's going to get the food, So that might be a little bit more Marisayan. It's interesting. I was actually going to discuss this last week. I got a similar Shaila 2 weeks ago. Somebody called me. They weren't going out of their house, obviously, following the protocol. They had hired help that was staying in their house. And they wanted to order from a non-kosher restaurant to the house. They wanted to order and to have them deliver into the house, and the person would mamish take it into the house. That's a serious Marisayan. That's more similar to this. Here, your mamish carrying the food. I don't even think the poskim that create this new impression and that disagree with Rav Moshe, what Rav Moshe said years ago when it comes to restaurants. So Rav Asher Weiss was talking about, or many of the poskim say, maybe when it comes to Midtown, that there's a difference when it's commonality. But now you're going in, you're mamish ordering food to your house from a non-kosher restaurant, or you're going in, your mamish an Uber driver, you're walking out with this food. I don't know if that's the same Marisayan. However, I told him, and I'm not sure this is the case. You guys will tell me, you let me know. But I said, if you're wearing a hat that says Uber Eats, and if you have stickers all over the car that says Uber Eats, so then that Marisayan could be taken away. Then
you see like the cars driving around with like the big Domino's pizza sign on the car. But if it's unmarked car and it's an unmarked bag and it's an unmarked delivery man, then presumably there's not going to be a presumption that it's. There's probably going to be a presumption that it's kosher, not trade.
No, I'm walking into a non-kosher restaurant.
I'm talking about the delivery, though.
No. That's not the, I'm talking about now for the Uber Eats child that we're talking about. So if you're walking into Uber Eats, and it's non-kosher and you're holding the food, so I don't think that's parallel to the situation of walking into a restaurant. I think that's worse. However, it could be better depending on your paraphernalia, depending on the garb, depending on what impression you create. And if you make it all about Uber Eats, I think potentially that could be solved by making it clear that you're just a delivery man. So again, I think although the regular hagdaras and kulas of restaurants would not be applicable over here, and like I said, in the other situation, ordering to the house, I don't think would be applicable. And I think these are serious Marisayan shilas. In the Uber Eats shila, I think that there might be room to be makel, because if you have the right paraphernalia, you have the right garb, so then you could remove any potential chshad when you're involved in that process. And as long as you make that clear, that would be okay in terms of the issue of chshad. What about the issue of doing business with non-kosher? Is there a problem with doing business with non-kosher? So there is a simon in Shulchan Aruch in Yeridea, in simon Kuf Yud Zayin, that's called Scharib Macholos Asuris. People usually assume that it's mutter for me, as long as it's not Asur Ba'ana, it's mutter for me to have a non-kosher restaurant. That's absolutely false, and that's a big misconception. And unfortunately, some people have had to lose a lot of money and or big dreams. I remember discussing this with someone last year. You know, a whole company that he was trying to develop, and it's a problem. It's a problem to have to do business. What?
Remember that pizza store was trying to open up in Fairlawn? First one.
I think it did. Oh.
No. The other one. It did open up. There was a guy from somewhere around here that opened, not in Fairlawn, opened up a Shreif pizza store with somebody.
A Yid.
And then they wanted to open a branch for a kosher.
A Yid.
Yeah, a Yid, yeah. Uh-huh. So I remember I came to you and you said, you know.
Right. No, so that's a problem. It's a Shaila in the poskim, whether or not it's an Issa D'Oraisa or an Issa D'Rabbanan. There are a few exceptions to the rule. You know,
because
the so it's a good question. So the Rashba in his Tshuvas writes that we're concerned that a person, it's like a geder. He learns that it's an Issa D'Rabbanan, although the Taz disagrees. The Taz thinks it's an Issa D'Oraisa. The Rashba thinks it's an Issa D'Rabbanan, and it's a geder that Chazal made that you shouldn't come to eat the food. That if a person is going to be involved with the business, so then he's going to come to eat the food. That's making the assumption that it's an Issa D'Rabbanan. If it's an Issa D'Oraisa, they're diukim in the Torah. Chazal clearly assumed from whatever parsha what the mukkar is not 100% clear, but that you see from Chazal, you see from the Gemaras and the Rishonim, that there was an assumption that the Torah assered and only excluded in a certain way, and certain exceptions to the rule. So if you understand like the Rashba, there's a rationale that you're going to come to eat it. If you understand that Tzedis HaDaraisa, like the Taz, it's something that the Torah asked, or the Torah didn't want us to get any benefit from the Machalos Asuris also. The Mishnah in Trumas that introduces this Isser, I think it's Perek Zayin, tells us that we're not allowed to we're not allowed to do business with I don't want to mislead, but it doesn't mean that it's usher bahana. It's not that the money is usher and that we have an isser hana and it has to be burnt. That's not what the Mishnah is saying. The Mishnah is talking about specifically running a business with machalos asuras. It means a guy is ordering inventory, selling, his whole parnasa is based on that. The next Mishnah says, if it's nizdamnu, which means a guy, let's say, goes hunting. A guy catches a bunch of animals. Some of them turn out to be non-kosher. Or some of them turn out to be treifas. So what do you think all the slaughterhouses do? What do? They just lose money on that? No, that's what's called nizdamnu. I wasn't trying and operating a business solely on machalos asuras. I happen to have... I chanced upon, I got some in operations of my normal kosher business, I got left over in my hands certain trape, or it fell Yerusha. I don't have to lose money on that. That wasn't anticipated, that wasn't premeditated, that wasn't planning a business, that's not the isser of doing a Maisa Schaira with Machalos Asuras, and therefore that would be something that is permissible.
What if you own the real estate?
If you own the real estate, yeah.
Let's say I own a piece of real estate, and now Burger King wants to open up in my property, or I want to invest in a real estate deal. It happens to be that there's going to be an apartment building and on Burger King.
Right. So is that schar of machalos asuris? So what's the answer to Joe's question? So I don't think that's schar of machalos asuris. I think I'm doing schiris on karka. I'm selling real estate. Mm-hmm. What the guy decides to do with the item is his decision. I didn't know that he was going to do it, or that it's clear that he's going to do it. And I think that svara might be applicable in our situation as well. I'm not running a business of machalos asuras. I'm running a delivery company. I'm running Uber Eats. I deliver money. I'm getting schirus from a company that does machalos asuras. He does schirub machalos asuras. I'm just the delivery guy. So I don't think that my payment necessarily is going to be considered schar machalos asuras. And this is something that Ramesha writes in a tshuva, that he agrees that he doesn't think of a guy delivers, just because he delivers, is automatically means that he's going to get, that he's delivering non-kosher. Ramesha's tshuva was a situation where a guy became a delivery man for chazir. Ramesha thinks that that's not considered schar machalos asuras. And that wouldn't be necessarily a problem. So that I think takes care of, although in other situations it's important sugya to delve into. Hopefully once we'll really go into the sugya, learn it well. The whole sugya of schar machalos asuras is very relevant. And I think Maris Ayin would be able to be avoided. So those are the first two issues. What about Lifnei Iver, if potentially the recipient is a Jew in this out of town place, that he's ordering non-kosher food? So number one, rove of the people probably are not going to be Jews, depending on the area. If you have that, so that might be. And what happens if I know? What happens if I come up and I see a mezuzah by the door? So then already, or you're already in a situation that you have some of the svaras that we discussed last week. It's not really treiv or dinara. There are many other drivers. This person doesn't even know that you're going to be his driver, and he wouldn't really care to get you or someone else. So this would probably be at most chadiv or dinara and iser misayeya. And over here, many of the svaras lahakel of misayeya by a mumer, misayeya by someone who's amazed, like the dogam revava. He knows that he's eating non-kosher. Most people are aware about the fact that there's a difference between kosher and non-kosher. And the svara that we quoted last week from the Meshev Dover, from the Netziv, that if you're not involved at the time of the Avera, that you just left the food there and then they pick it up, I don't necessarily think one would have what to rely on in terms of the lifnei iver and the facilitating of the Avera and the third potential issue that would be with it being an Uber Eats driver. So, okay, so far I think there wouldn't necessarily be a problem as long as you make it clear that when you go in that you're an Uber Eats driver, you're not going in to consume and to eat the food. And so far it would be good. What I thought was the most largest issue with being an Uber Eats driver was based on a sugya in Avodah Zarah and Daf Samach Beis Amid Aleph. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah and Daf Samach Beis Amid Aleph tells us Avodah Zarah Samach Beis. The Gemara says as follows, a very important Gemara. The Gemara says, you hire a worker that the worker should schlep and should be involved and work with Yayin Nesech. The Mishnah says, Scharo Aser. His schar is Aser. And the Gemara goes on to explain, it's a knas. It's a knas that they made by Yayin Nesech, by one of these Suryana, by Yayin Nesech, that you're not allowed to get schar from even work that you're doing with Yayin Nesech. Okay? And this is something that's paskin in Shulchan Aruch. So now the question is that specifically to Yayin Nesech? Or is the schar by all Yisuri Ana going to be usher to be involved with? That you're not mutter, basically the shaila is called like this, is it mutter or usher lehishtaker from Yisuri Ana? I'm not being nene directly from the Yisuri Ana. I'm not using the Yayin Nesech, but over here, and I'm not doing business with Yayin Nesech, because Yayin Nesech is something that's not so common anymore. We don't have people that are of the Avodah Zarah, the Rama tells us. But what do we have? Half of these orders are going to be Basar V'Cholov. And if you don't think that this is common, it's very common. Because if you go into the non-kosher restaurants, part of the reason why many of their steaks are delicious is because they soak them in butter. And you're going to have a lot of Basar V'Cholov shaylas, even if you're in the cheaper restaurants, just from a shayla of pizza with pepperoni, you might have shaylas there as well. So the shayla is whether or not is it usher to be mishtaker be Yisuri Hana and other Yisuri Hana. Did the Gemara only mean it by Yayin Nesech, or did the Gemara extend it to other Yisuri Hana as well? So it's interesting. It's not clear in Hilchos Avodah Zarah, but you get a clearer picture on this shaila when you open up Hilchos Pesach. You turn to Sermon Tuf Nun in Hilchos Pesach, and it seems to be, at least the way the Mishnah Berurah understands it, that this might be a difference between the Sfardim and the Ashkenazim. There is a discussion there about renting out an oven to a goy on Pesach to bake chametz. Is it mutter asur l'ishtaker? And then the Mechaber also talks about renting out a donkey that you know the goy is going to schlep chametz from one place to the next. And many of the poskim, the Gra, the Bach, the Sharetzi, and the Mishnah Berurah, thinks that according to Ashkenazim, this would be something that we should be machmir about, that it's usher to get schar, to be mistaker from Yisuri Hana. Now, once you get paid, that is not Yisuri Hana. That's not considered holding and carrying the Isser Hana. I don't mean to say that this is what's called being nene from Yisuri Hana. It's not directly being nene from the Hana. Being nene over here would be to get something from the actual item, and to be nana directly, but to get schar, to be a carrier, to be a worker, which is indirect, whether or not that also extends itself outside of the world of Yayin Nesech, Avodah Zarah, Yisuri Hana, to other Yisuri Hana, like chametz, or in our shayla, basar v'cholav, would potentially be an issue, at least for Ashkenazim, for sure. According to Sfardim, it would be a shaila that the Sharetzi, the Mishnah Berurah, seems to think that Sfardim might be able to be makel on the shaila. If that's the case, so then a lot of these situations that this Uber each driver would face themselves in might be an issue of being mishtaker the isuri hana, and that that would be something that you would have to differentiate between stam machalos asuris, just having I don't know, chves, a chicken salad or a wrap, and then knowing whether or not your deliveries, you would have a potential issue of basar v'cholov. Whether or not this person could downgrade the shaila and say maybe it's not asur b'ano, why? Because it's not really basar v'cholov d'oraisa. Maybe one could say it's basar nevela. It was never geshechted meat, so that's a major machlekes. And maybe it wasn't cooked together. Okay, that would be on a case by case basis. To be makel just because of basar nevela, we usually assume basar nevela is asur b'ano. This is the shaila that we spoke about when it comes to non-kosher pet food, and whether or not you're allowed to feed it to your pets. And this was I remember when I was learning Yeridea the first time, it seemed to be this is a machlekes or reshechter and a beganak within the OU, whether or not we are makel on the shaila like the Rambam and the Nekuda and the Nefla, to say that something which is besar nevela, you're not going to have the Isser Anah, and you'd be able to feed it to your dog. And the Reshechter thought that the Psak should be that it's Usser. And that would be relevant over here in terms of this extension of being a delivery man and the Isser not being Nene, because you're not being Nene directly, but you're being Mishtaker Misuri Anah. So assuming that the Isser Anah applies over here, so then you would not be able to be Mishtaker and get Schar from it as well, and therefore I told this Uber Eats driver that he has to figure out which places carry Isuri Hana and which places don't, and if it's just an issue of Macholos Asuris, then I think you would be okay based on the three arguments that we presented at the beginning. But if it's potentially an Isuri Hana, then a person should be wary and not be Mishtaker from it. All right. There is another issue that Tosfos and Psachim discusses directly hana from the basar v'cholov, that a person who says thank you, Tosfos says, is also an isur hana. But I don't think that really is relevant when it comes to the Uber Eats. I don't think he's even meeting you. You're just dropping it by the door. You're going back to your car, especially in the zman of Corona. You do that 2 minute and then fly back into your car, which we do even for personal visits. So that's that was the shaila with Uber Eats. And I want to wish everyone a beautiful Shabbos and a beautiful Pesach Sheni. A Pesach Sheni that I spoke about in the shmooze that I sent out is something that definitely hits home this year, that we are unable to do the regular avoda, and we look towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We learn from these tzaddikim that were oisik b'mitzvah, which we were all oisik b'mitzvah, because we are involved in the mitzvah of Ushmartim es nafshoseichem, in the mitzvah of v'chai bohem, and there are different times where there are different avodas. Certain times, certain people have to carry Yosef's bones. Certain times, we have to protect ourselves. We have to take certain measures. We're not able to be involved in the classic avoda, but that doesn't change the fact that we don't turn to the Rebbeinu Shalom and we say, even though we know the answer, and we know why, but we say, Lama Nigara. We demonstrate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we articulate and we say and we scream out, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I want you to know that even though I'm Pater, even though this is the protocols right now, I'm dying for that relationship. I'm dying for that experience. I'm dying to be like the rest of Klal Yisrael, being Makriv a Karban Pesach. And that's the Avoda right now, a Pesach Sheni that we really relate to. That we just say, it's a rhetorical question, it's Lama Nigara, but it's in order to make sure that our tefillos are directed. And we remind ourselves that we can't be complacent with this matzav. And we have to tell the Rebbeinu Shalom that we miss it so much. We want to serve you in the highest level, in the most lechatchila digga way. And please, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, look inside our hearts how much we want it. And we express that to our family. That is the avoda this Shabbos. The avoda of Lama Nigara. The avoda of even though we know what has to be done, but we want to express that this is not the way we want it, and we want a higher level relationship, and we want that experience. And in Mirtz Hashem, when we get back, it'll be on a stronger level than it was originally. All right, I want to wish everyone a beautiful Shabbos.
Thank you.
Kol tov.
Thank you. You too.